Chapter 43. Vac suits provide good protection against radiation. They have to, because open space is full of exotic particles and dangerous flares of invisible light. Accordingly, one of the first things I checked when I stopped spinning around was my suit's radiation counter. Minotaur was ticking hot, but the dose was far from lethal.
"Looks like the evacuation of the atmosphere worked," Graves said. "Radiation levels are down. Let's have a head count. Who made it in here?"
We sounded off by squads, and I gathered my people while maneuvering toward the broken spot in the dome. As the pressure had just equalized, it was no longer firing a geyser up into our faces. Looking down, I didn't see a forested area like I'd hoped to. First off, it was dark down there. Secondly, the trees I could make out looked dead and stripped down to the bare wood. Had the plant life eaten them?
Graves said, "We're out of touch with 70% of the unit. After checking with members of the other units, however, I've found they did even worse. As I'm the senior officer present, I'm taking over tactical command until this action is over, or until someone higher ranked manages to get inside the hull."
No one objected to the idea of Graves taking command. In fact, we were happy. Graves was a good man to have behind you in an unknown and possibly grim situation. If Turov had made it into the dome instead, I'd have been worried. Her record wasn't the best in tough tactical actions. Graves marshaled us quickly. He sent a few scouts down to the floor of Green Deck, then folded squads and platoons together. It soon became apparent there was only about a combined unit's worth of legionnaires inside Minotaur. Only 100 or so of us had made it through the closing blast shield alive. Harris was one of those who hadn't made it. Della was one of the few members of his team who had made it in, and she was folded into my squad. Of my original group, I had Carlos, Keevy, Lau, and Gorman. The rest had to be too slow getting inside the closing dome, or they'd died trying. When we were organized, Graves contacted me directly.
"McGill, how do you manage to get your people in here?"
he demanded.
"I put you at the back of the bus so you wouldn't cause trouble."
"I've never liked the bus, Centurion," I said. Then I quickly told him how we'd done it. He was amused.
"Never heard of a man so eager to get himself killed,"
he chuckled.
"I like that. Take point, madman."
For a moment, I debated telling him about my oxygen supply situation, but I passed on that. I had a few hours left, after all, and reporting my technical difficulties before they stopped me from following my orders seemed weak. Instead, I dove for the ragged opening, and my hodgepodge squad dove after me. We sailed down into Stygian darkness. Dead leaves, corpses, and even globules of ice floated around us.
"Look at our stripped trees," Carlos said. "The alien plants must have eaten them. Disgusting freaks. They're like an army of giant slugs."
"The balls of ice are beautiful in a way," Della said. "They must be from the lake in the center of the artificial forest. It's so strange to see it frozen into balls and left floating in the dark."
"The ship's plumbing system automatically sucks most of the water down into holding tanks before battle," I told her. "But this time, they clearly didn't get it all. Della, can you dive into that empty pond and see if there's anything alive down there?" She was the fastest troop I had, even in zero-G. There was something about growing up on a barbaric alien planet that made a person tougher than usual. I couldn't help but admire her form as she grabbed a tree branch and swung around it like a gibbon. Before she could push off, however, the branch she was on snapped. It was brittle with cold, but she managed to get her legs around the trunk. The rest of us watched as she shimmied all the way to the ground and then darted over a cliff wall, vanishing. We waited for about 10 seconds, then another 20. I'd just begun to frown and open my mouth to ask if she was okay when she radioed back to me.
"It's nothing from Earth down here," she said. "Even the water plants are dead."
When she first said that, I naturally assumed that she was talking about algae and the like, but when I launched down and joined her, I was in for a surprise. The whole lake bed, some 100 meters across, was full of alien pods. Every inch of the sandy bottom was replanted with hulking, bulbous growths. Fortunately, they all seemed to be as dead as the earthly plants were. Around the lake bed, there were still trees from Earth, but all of them were stripped to bare wood like looming skeletons. The plants that were in better shape resembled those I'd seen back on Death World. For some reason, the sight appalled me. I'd always liked Green Deck. It pissed me off that these damned aliens had taken it upon themselves to uproot our greenery and replace it with their own. It just didn't seem right. Centurion Graves, I transmitted. McGill reporting. The enemy is here, at least in pod form. The pods appear to have been frozen to death by depressurization, however.
Say again, McGill, Graves asked. Do you see enemy troops?
No, sir, not exactly. We're surrounded by alien pods and vines, and I'm certain we didn't plant them here. Fortunately, they're frozen stiff.
Interesting. It sounds like the radiation released from the core didn't kill them, but the hard vacuum did. I'm bringing the rest of the unit down to your position.
We poked around for a time as the unit formed around us. We had to use our hands to pull ourselves around on the dead vines until we found a big iron pipe. We figured it must have been the one that drained the water while Minotaur was in flight. Walking on it with our magnetic boots activated, we managed to reach the main exit. There, we were in for another surprise. The exit had been sealed.
Weapons at the ready, soldiers,
Graves said, hand over handing it along our line to the front. He grabbed each man's helmet or air hose and pulled himself over our heads. It was a strange way to move, but it worked well. He used his gauntlets to grab onto our suits and pull himself along. In zero-G training, we learned a number of techniques, and we were using them all now. Another trick was to use our magnetic boots to walk on another man's armor. There was a lot of titanium in our suits, but there were steel components, too. Graves inspected the exit, which looked like it had been welded shut.
Is Natasha here?
No, sir, I said. Turov left her back on Death World.
Great. What have we got in the way of techs?
A few came forward. Graves recognized Kivi and selected her. He directed her to inspect the edges of the metal and give an expert opinion. I could tell right off Kivi was nervous. She'd only been a tech for a short time, and her background knowledge didn't extend much past whatever it took to get through tech school. Natasha, on the other hand, had been a hardcore science geek her whole life.
I'm not sure,
Kivi said after letting her light play over the strange weld-like fusing of metal that ringed the exit.
If I had to guess, I'd say they used their secreted acid. Maybe they're able to apply it lightly over two surfaces, melting them together. Then they might chemically neutralize the reaction. That would cause the metal to fuse like this. But it's only a guess.
Good enough, Graves said. Weaponeers, destroy this door. Everyone else take hold of something solid. There's likely to be a blast of gas if the corridor beyond is pressurized.
Those of us who were near the door hastened to get out of the way. Three belchers emitted lances of fire the moment we were clear. The door turned white hot in an instant, then melted into a burning incandescent radiance. The metal burned like a giant sparkler, and a hole opened up in the center. A gush of released gas flowed out of the hole, but it wasn't as powerful as when we'd opened Green Deck to space.
McGill, give me a quick recon.
I scuttled forward, and once I stepped through the white-hot breach, I felt weight return to my limbs. That was a relief. The passage didn't provide anything like a full G of gravity, but it was enough to keep me on the ground. Behind me, my squad hurried to keep up. We had our rifles up to our faceplates, ready to tear up anything we saw. It's a mess inside, sir, I said. Empty space suits, dead plants, debris. I'd say there was a fight in here, all right.
No sign of active resistance.
None, sir.
Unit forward.
We pressed on. The one thing that surprised me was the lack of bodies. There were a few, but not as many as I'd expected there to be. What's more, when we investigated those we found, we discovered they were empty suits, and not dead men at all.
Where are all the bodies?
Carlos demanded.
What did these green bastards do with them?
Why don't you find one and ask him?
Kivi suggested. Carlos turned to frown at her, and there might have been an argument if Graves hadn't called to us over the unit-wide channel.
Unit, halt. The central passageway appears to be clear. I'm going to switch over to our original invasion plan. Each unit with specialized orders will now carry them out. Graves out.
What the frig?
Carlos said loudly.
Is he crazy? There's only about 100 of us left, and he wants us to break up and get lost in the ship?
Our mission is to recapture this vessel, I told him. Our original operational orders were designed to do just that. Gather up, people. Our squad's target is Gold Deck. We'll take this duct leading upward as a shortcut. In addition to powered lifts, there were tubes with ladders in them to allow access between decks. We found one that went up. We slung our rifles on our backs and shimmied into the tube one at a time. Leading the way, I emerged on another level of the ship. Gold Deck was eerie. I'd been up here on a number of occasions, and there'd always been a pack of staffers bustling around in perfectly creased uniforms. Now the place was deserted. Spread out, I directed my squad as they popped out of the tube behind me. Search and confirm we're secure.
Vet? Kivi asked in a hushed voice. Shouldn't there be some dead people? There were a few in the passages, but...
Actually, I said, there were none. The corpses we saw were really empty suits of armor. The bodies themselves are all missing. She gave me a worried glance. I headed for the central consoles, and she stuck close behind me. We tried to engage the power couplings, but failed.
No juice, Kivi said. The power cables have been cut off somewhere between here and the generators.
Where are the generators?
Engineering.
No one had much to say to that. Engineering, or Red Deck, was where the breach had originally occurred. Most of Graves' troops were headed there now. We all had visions of high radiation, holes in the core shielding, and hard vacuum that couldn't be easily sealed off. Reluctantly, I contacted Graves. Centurion McGill reporting, we've reached and secured Gold Deck. It's a ghost town. The bad news is we've got no power up here for the control systems. Any chance of getting a feed from engineering?
Negative, McGill, Graves said. We're nowhere near reaching our target yet. We've encountered a lot of damaged areas of the ship. Debris, exposed radioactives, collapsed passages, you name it. We might have to spacewalk to get there at all.
Okay then, sir, I said. Should we hold our position here until you can get through?
No, I've got a better idea. Take your squad down to support Adjunct Toro. She's trying to get into Blue Deck and she's having some kind of problem.
Will do, sir. We almost left before I remembered my special orders from Tribune Drusus and Turov. They'd ordered me directly to take this part of the ship. In fact, they'd asked me to locate a specific locker on Gold Deck. Clanking to the spot, I opened the locker. Sure enough, there was a spanking new walking vehicle we called a dragon inside.
Looks like it's in good condition, Carlos commented.
It is, I said thoughtfully. I mounted the dragon's back plate and got a surprise. The dragon wasn't empty. There was a body inside. It had to be the first intact dead body I'd seen since I'd boarded Minotaur. The shocker was that the corpse was none other than Imperata Turov herself. Carlos, get up here, I ordered. Carlos scrambled to my position and looked her over.
She died in the pilot's harness, he said. She doesn't have a respirator. Looks like she was overcome before she could seal up the dragon.
Yeah, I said thoughtfully. What I don't get is why she didn't mention during the briefing that this is where she died.
Maybe she doesn't know how it ended, he suggested. The ship's systems were failing all over the place. Maybe her final moments aboard the ship weren't recorded. Anyway, let's pull her out of there. I'll drive the dragon for you, Vet.
I glanced at him and snorted. Fat chance. I'm driving this thing. It felt strange to handle Galena's corpse. After all, I'd made love to this woman a number of times over the last few days. But here she was, dead as a doornail and frozen stiff in the vacuum. We set her aside, gently, and I climbed into the Dragon and reached for the controls that would fire up the vehicle. But then I remembered something and stopped. Galena had possessed a very valuable item, an artifact that was quite possibly unique in all of Frontier 921. The Galactic Key.